to it. I want to read something before we get started, but if while I'm reading this, if you want to go to the book of Nehemiah. You know, I hate to mess up people who say mid-Acts dispensationalists only study Paul's epistles. Today we're going to go from the Old Testament to the New Testament and see some things are transdispensational. They don't change. And all Scripture, what's it say, is for our learning. But not all Scripture is to us or about us. That's what I'm going to read, something from the Berean Bible Society. I thought it's great, by Pastor Wynn Johnson. It's called Unscriptural or Undispensational. A pastor friend of this writer has written the following. There are professing Christians who religiously practice the washing of feet. And I can say amen to that. When I used to be a Pentecostal 8 years, we used to do that. Man, there were some funky looking feet, I'll tell you too. Very humbling experience. And then he writes, are they scriptural or unscriptural? They're scriptural, aren't they? Yes. Didn't Christ wash the apostles' feet? There's some who anoint the sick with oil, while others use blessed handkerchiefs. You ever get some in the mail? You know, we sent you this handkerchief for healing. Just use your faith seed and, you know, send it back to us. And then some, still others tarry for the Holy Spirit after they have received Christ's first salvation. Some professing Christians claim to have visions and angelic visitations while hearing supernatural voices. Are they scriptural or unscriptural? Scriptural, aren't they? It's in the Bible. Thousands of others break forth in some kind of speech, which they call the gift of tongues. Is it scriptural or unscriptural to speak in tongues? Scriptural. What I will add to this, scriptural tongues were speaking in known language that you never learned. It was a supernatural gift. So to which we add, scriptures can be found to substantiate all these actions. However, it seems to us that it's less than intellectual honesty, much less spiritual practice to arbitrarily select certain Bible commands for obedience while completely disregarding the others. Why not obey the mandates in Numbers 15:32-36 and Deuteronomy 21:18-21, where infractions were to be punished by publicly stoning the offender to death? Why not build a tabernacle and offer sacrifices to God? And I'll add, why not build an ark? You know, it's in the Bible. Why not sell all you have and give alms? As Christ instructed in Luke 12:33. In short, why obey certain Bible commands and ignore others? Why not obey them all? The answer to these questions is clearly stated in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think every person that goes to this church should know that verse by heart. Though all the scripture is most certainly for our admonition and instruction, all scripture is not for our obedience. In fact, obeying commands given to others in past economies could be in direct disobedience in this age. Compare Genesis 17:10-14 with Galatians 5:2 and Romans 2:25-29. Also Matthew's 19:16-21 with Romans 4:5 and Ephesians 2:8-9. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 does not contradict or nullify 2 Timothy 2:15. You know what that verse says? All scripture is God-breathed or inspired. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. I don't know if I said that exactly right, but that doesn't contradict to rightly divide the word. All scripture is profitable if you rightly divide it. If you don't rightly divide it, you got a confused thing out there. A lot of confused teaching. So, to the Apostle Paul, the glorified Lord revealed God's message and program for this age of grace. To him was committed the dispensation of the grace of God. See Ephesians 3:1-9. In his epistles, we find the commands given directly to the body of Christ. The question here is, Not only is it spiritual, but is it dispensational? I think that's a great article. You know, I go a lot on Facebook. My friends are on there. They see I post and trying to get an understanding of God's grace and right division out there to believers. You know, they need to get saved from error. And, you know, it says God desires all men to be saved, so I'm sharing the gospel of grace for salvation. But also, it says, and come to the knowledge of the truth. Believers need to come to the knowledge. You have to rightly divide the word and know what's to us and about us. But some people separate too much. You know, you go to extremes. You know how many verses Paul uses from the Old Testament? Just read it, his quotes. So today, we're going to go into Nehemiah and see some principles, I think, that we can apply. And then, hopefully I'll have time, because I got till 10:30, right? Because at one time, I thought I had till 10:45. And, what? It's 10:30, right? And then, yeah. And the pastor started walking back and forth there, and then he started going, like, I go, what? I'm making good time, and I thought he still had, like, 10 more minutes. I thought he's getting filled with spirit, started jumping around back there. All right, so let's start in the very first chapter. And if you're not sure where Nehemiah is, you go to Psalms. It's halfway in the Old Testament, then go a couple books to the left. You'll find it right by after Ezra. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, I don't know if I pronounced that right. And it came to pass in the 9th month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. So you got to get the picture here. It'd be a good little study for you to do on your own. It's not a whole lot of chapters. But what happened was the Jews were suffering from breaking God's covenant of the law. And I'm going to, as we go through here, we're going to see something that some that's taught today that is in their program that shouldn't be taught in our program or grace. But what happened was they had rebuilt the temple, but the gates were in ruin. And this prophet, or Nehemiah, he had such a heart. You know what I mean? Well, you'll see his heart and such honesty. We should have that, you know, for our church, our people. And even if somebody disagrees with us, don't understand right division, we shouldn't be mad at them. We shouldn't, you know, start punching them with the Word of God and punching them with the... we need to be patient and gentle. And the pastor is great about that, because I see some people... I actually had defriended somebody on Facebook. Two people are very mean. You know, they're ignorant. Like one lady said she disagreed, and the other lady goes, well, too bad. It's just like, I would, you know, we have to say, it's okay, we can agree to disagree. But, and then give them reasons, give them time to think, because we didn't learn everything overnight, right? So we need to have a heart for people. And he, so, some came back, and in verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, there in the providence, are in great affliction and reproached. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept. Look at him. He loved his people. He loved God's city, the city of Jerusalem. And mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. You see, this is under law. Remember, you always got to ask what? Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? Let thine ear now be attentive, and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. And listen this now, remember this part. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. So I'm not going to keep going there, but I want you to get the picture here. What does 1 John 1:9 say? Everybody knows that. That's one of the biggest verses besides John 3:6. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? And they think that's to the body of Christ. And I won't get all into that, but remember it in Galatians when Peter, James, and John gave Paul the right hand of fellowship that they should go to the circumcision and Paul to the Gentiles, the uncircumcision. So who were they writing to? They're not going to one, and then they're going to write to the other one. Now, you know, people have different ideas about if Paul wrote Hebrews or not. I tend to think he did. I wouldn't argue with anybody. But if he did, remember, Israel, that nation was set aside like all the other nations, weren't they?
Yes, sir.
So he's writing to just any, they're just like, they're not God's special people today. Temporarily, they will be again. You know, God's special people are today? Body of Christ.
Yes,
so, remember when John the Baptist came? What was he preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Got to get baptized. What is Peter has not changed the message. He said what? What must we do? Repent and be baptized for what? The remission of sins. Not as a testimony. It said for, because people go see, it's for. That's not what it says. That's what tradition will teach. And Romans chapter 6 is the picture of baptism of us going under the water. No, it isn't. There's not a speck of water in there. Now, John the Baptist, there was water. But I don't think it was dunking. I think he took a branch of hyssop, just like Moses did in the Old Testament. But see, the reason that you see him confessing it, and God responded to that, because remember God gave Israel the law? He gave it to no other nation. He gave it at Mount Sinai to who? Moses for who? No other nation. Not the body of Christ. We find out through our apostles what? We're not under law, we're under grace. But we can learn from the law. And anyway, what did Israel say? We will do it. Because God said that you got to continue in all of it. That's pride. See, they already had a relationship with God, right? He brought them out from Egypt. They should have fell on their face and said, we cannot. Let us. Your mercy is what we need. But pride says, yeah, we'll be your people. We'll do it all. You get that every week in church, don't you?
Yeah.
People walking up the aisles. Come commit your life to God. Oh, I'm going to commit. And then what, next week? Because by the middle of the week, that commitment's, you know. And then what happens? You need this big emotional experience. Somebody to pop you on the head and electrocute you, you know. Plug you in. See, but that emotion, that's usually what it is. It's, you know, built up emotion and things, and what happens, that won't help with you when you face real life. Doctrine, sound Bible doctrine will help you. And it's not just knowing it, as we're going to kind of see in a minute. It's applying the doctrine, but you got to know it first. That's why we come to church, right? To build up that edifice of doctrine in our soul, so when you go through the storms, you got something, you know, to yeah. You know, the spiritual battle. You know, you got ministries again. They go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early Acts. They love, they call them deliverance ministries, and they're binding, even casting out, they say, the spirit, demons from believers. I mean, where's Christ in all this? And, you know, Satan gets more focused than God does, you know. Or churches that talk more about the Holy Spirit than Jesus. I know that they're not being led by the Spirit, because Jesus said when the Spirit comes, He'll glorify Him. The Holy Spirit's always pointing us to Christ.
Right.
You know? But what happens is you get that big pumped up thing. By next week, you got to commit again, because you know you messed up if you're honest. Or you be that self-righteous Pharisee walking in, you know, looking down on everybody. Not a, you know. And if you did your hour prayer in the morning and your hour Bible study. Did you do your prayers this morning? Did you do your Bible study? Huh? Right? Well, if I got to do it, you got to do it. If I'm a Pharisee, You know? We do it, why? Not to say, look at me. We need it. We need that relationship. We need that time with God. I get up early in the morning because I don't call it a quiet time. Because then you get the idea, that's my time with God. 24/7 is our time with God. We have access to Him 24 hours a day. How would you like your kid say, I'm going to give you 20 minutes in the morning, but I'm not going to talk to you the rest of the day. You know? God be like, why don't you save it? You know? But we do it because we need it. We need to have the Word of God working in us. And so we're going to go to Nehemiah 8. I'm not going to read the whole thing just for time, but we're going to start off. Let me, before we go here, give you a little bit of background here too. They started Nehemiah, and he prayed 4 months. You say, well, God ain't hearing my prayer. He ain't answering my prayer. 4 months before, and he was sad before the king because he was the cupbearer. He tested for his job. I wouldn't want his job. I don't care what it paid. He tested for poison because people in them days always trying to poison the king, right? Somebody wants the throne, you know? Well, if you look, he was sad, his countenance, because he felt so much for his people, his land, right? Well, now the cupbearer, if you couldn't look weird, because they'll think something's wrong, and they'll take you out. So he's praying, and the king tells him, why is your countenance down that? You know, God had his hand on him. And anyway, so he gets permission, so they start rebuilding the wall. And they got these nations around them that don't like it. They're making fun. They're saying, we're going to take you out. You know what they did? They started working, tools in one hand, and they carried a sword in the other. Now, as I was thinking about that, see, there's principles in the Old Testament. Sometime churches, they're working. And Major Ian Thomas, you say, they're busy but barren. See, they got these learn from insurance programs, like you got this emergent church, and they got man's ideas, how to build the church, And so they got this program, they got a ministry for midgets, and a ministry for somebody who's struggling with this, divorce, and the ministry, and that's fine to have. I don't think you got to exactly have a ministry for it. I think people who've experienced it are the best counselors around. And it's fine if you have a ministry. But you know what I'm saying? They're building. It's very busy. But it's not the Holy Spirit in there. See? So they're working their tools, but they ain't got the sword. See, the sword defended it. And so I'm thinking, on the other hand, sometime mid-Acts dispensationalists, they realize the importance of studying and what else? Rightly divine, right? Yeah. But they don't get in there and do the work. Their head's just this big and heavy, and I know all the Bible doctrine, but they don't see how the Holy Spirit works today. He's in our spirit. We talk about our heart. It's not here. It's here. This is our control center, right? Holy Spirit indwells our mind, teaching our spirit. And what's He do? He gets into our attitudes, and He's bringing the grace of God and trying to teach us who we are in Christ, your identity, that you're holy without blemish, perfect in His sight, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing, motivating you by grace, not law and fear, right? Yes. And He works on our attitudes.
Yes, sir.
And He's trying to produce agape, God's love in us. And it's expressed out. And it's the work of love and the labor of hope. In Thessalonians, I believe, the labor of love and the work, something like that, the work of hope. So there's works, but they're not to save you or to keep you saved. It's just a labor of love. When the pastor I know, or when I teach, Steve, we just love doing it. You got to study and prepare. It's work, But I love being used to God. And do you feel from after this week, that God can use you? I don't know about you. I fail the Lord every day this week. Maybe not outward, inward thoughts. Sometime in my actions. I'm not always patient. That always keeps me humble. My wife laughing. Amen. Yeah. But this is where the Holy Spirit reminds you. He doesn't say God's going to get you. In our spirit, teaching our mind, you are justified as righteous as Christ because you have His righteousness. Can God use a person like that? Come on, man. I'm from Pentecostal background. Can I get some amens?
Amen.
It helps me know somebody's listening, and it keeps people awake, too. So He's always telling us, you're righteous in Christ. And as He's showing us, it starts inwardly in our attitudes, and then you have your will. Right? He works through our will, not overruling our will. And we choose, and then He's working in our will. It starts inwardly, and then it governs our actions. See, legalism, religion, says clean up the outside. Remember what Christ told the Pharisees? You whitewashed tombs. You know, they used to, in them days, have tombs. They'd paint them white, beautiful. And they would shine and shimmer when the sun was on, beautiful. But He said, you got nothing but corruption inside, dead men's bones. You brood of vipers. Nice shiny snake. You know? See, God works through grace in our hearts. But it's in our minds too. And the both got to work together. When it talks about the heart in Ephesians, I looked it up. That's why I love the Greek. Because it gives you more, helps you to get more of an understanding than just even an English word, like love. It has four different words for it. Anger. There's orge. That's a jealous anger. Like, I'm mad because I deserve that. And then there's other kind of anger. See, so I love getting into that. And I forgot why I was getting into that. So we'll go back here anyway. Probably good. That's direct me back here. So now, there was a revival at this time in Israel. You know why? They brought the Word of God out. The Word that was to them. The law. So go to... I never did finish. I want to tell you. And I'll go right to this. Remember, when God gave them the law, it was a contract. A covenant, right? Old covenant. Old Testament, Old Covenant. When they agreed, they signed a contract. But what God was trying to show them, you can never do what I call you to do. See? What did He say about the new covenant? I'll put my laws in your heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh, not of stone. See, God would never gave them the law to make them righteous. It was always to show they needed His mercy. And to show them and humble them that they would realize only God can do this. We can't. So what did water baptism represent? It was ceremonial cleansing, right? They're admitting. He confessed the sins of His nation, His people, right? Now one day, when they see Christ, after the rapture, 7-year tribulation, He comes back, they're going to be very humbled. And that's where John, 1 John 1:9 is, they have to get baptized. That's confessing their sins. Agreeing with God. They've broken God's law. And that's when you'll see the true Israel. When Christ gathers them. The ones in Israel right now are not spiritual Israel. They don't even believe. They're not. If you read, the pastor made a really good article in the Brain Searchlight about that. It's got to be after Christ comes back, then these things have to happen, then He draws them. The ones there, they're there by secular means. They're not, most of them aren't even, they don't believe in Christ. Actually, most of them don't even follow, well, a whole lot of them don't even follow the law. You know? So, anyway, for us, what's confession mean anyway? When you sign a confession at the police station? I agree, right? Yeah, exactly. I'm admitting I'm guilty, right? Or you're agreeing to what that paper says, right? Well, for us, we got to recognize something too to be saved, that I have broken God's law. Even though it wasn't given to me, I violated His holiness, His righteousness. And we have to realize we're a sinner, And we need a Savior, and we can't save ourselves. Because Paul says, what's the law for today? Not for the righteous. Who's the righteous? Those who are justified believers, right? He said it's for the unrighteous. So he says, the law is good if used properly. How do you use it today? Give it to an unbeliever. Tell them, okay, here's 10 things. Because they go, I'm a good person, right? The hardest people to reach are moral people. You know why? Because they see some Christians and they go, I'm a better person than them. That pride, right? We'll do it, God. See? You ever read yourself in the Bible? How about Peter? You say, how could he deny Christ, right? After being there. What about us? You ever not share with somebody? When you feel you should? I know I have. That's why I have to pray for boldness. We have to pray for that. So we need that from God. Boldness, but not just that. It's a love-motivated boldness. It's always love-motivated. So we look here, and it says in verse 5, chapter 8 of Nehemiah, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord. See, he started out what? Like I did in my prayer today, praising God. Not just asking him for things, thanking him for things. And all the people answered, amen, amen. See, that's what I was trying to get y'all to do. Amen, amen, right? With lifting up their hands. And I don't care if you lift up your hands, because I know usually in great churches they don't. But I see Paul talking about lifting up holy hands and, you know, praying and praising God. I don't do it here because I don't want to. Sometime it would disturb somebody, you know. We got kind of charismatic here today, you know, or whatever. But it's sometime out of respect, you know, you don't do everything that you would say you would do outside of a place. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with the lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So first, what are they doing? They're focusing on God, right? How great God is. They're thinking about how mighty, how powerful, how holy, how righteous he is, right? Also, Jeshua, now, I'm not a good pronouncer of these, Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Jacob, I'm just going to skip them, go to the middle of the verse. And the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. In the New King James, where it says, and caused, it said they helped them. So what? That's why we need to come to church. You know, if I have time, I want to go to Ephesians 4 when it talks about pastors and teachers. There are no more apostles and prophets. They died out with the finishing in that century because you had a completed word of God. But pastors and teachers, we still do. And what happens is the doctrine you're studying during the week, and I hope you're studying it. Because if not, the Holy Spirit ain't, the Word of God, what, that worketh in you? It means energizing. And if we ain't taking in that spiritual manna from heaven, we ain't got no spiritual energy. It's so important, you know. When you go through doing things, for the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind what's fresh in your mind. And so, then, with that doctrine you have, I've heard it said, the preaching or teaching, it stirs the doctrine up. And what did the pastor say? I loved it. It animates it. See, it takes like a cartoon. You start it and it becomes like alive, right? So that's what happens. So the Word of God is living and active and it gets animated in our lives. You know, believers say, oh, I don't have to go to church. I study on my own. Well, I don't know, you know, what in your Bible. I've never seen the Lone Ranger. God always has his people working together. And the ones who are alone, remember Elijah, I believe it was, when he got depressed, he just had a battle with how many, what was it, 400, 700 of Baal prophets. Great big battle he won. He's laughing at them. They're cutting themselves. Yeah, cut yourself some more. Pray to your God. Maybe. You know, this Muslim guy on Facebook, we're talking back and forth. I'm sharing with them. And then you always got to watch because they hit you for cash. Yeah. And I tell them right away, I do not give money to anybody on here. I get asked every day because it's the messages. I said, you want prayer? You want help to understand the Bible? That's my gift for you. And I'll pray for you every day. But anyway, he's telling me, maybe you can help me with some money. I says, what about Allah? I said, from what I hear, he's supposed to use, believe he's all powerful. How about Allah help you? I said, my God, through Christ Jesus, meets all my needs. That's what God's word. And I don't know if he trusted in him. I posted a picture of Jesus on the cross with the little boy there saying, I love you. And he said that touched his heart. Then he asked for money for a Bible. I said, I won't give you money. When you go to church, in a Christian church, and you start telling me what you're learning, I'll send you a Bible. So I don't know if he's for real or not. I hope so. Yeah. But what happens is when we rightly divide the word, see, revival don't start out here. The Billy Graham thing, though, you know, praise God, my old pastor got saved at a Billy Graham thing. I don't follow Billy Graham. I'm not going to run him down or whatever, but I know some things what he has taught also, but God has used them too. 10 minutes. Anyway, you made me lose my track. she's going. Time. Anyway, when we rightly divide the word, what happens is we find out what's directly to us, right? But then, when you find out what's directly to us, you got to meditate on it, right? Think about it. Dwell on it. Pray about it. You know, all through the day, just talk to God. We got access to Him. That's been such a wonder to me lately. I keep saying, thank you, God, I got access to you. You know, 24/7, you wake up in the middle of the night, you're afraid. Start talking to God and think about His love. Perfect love casts out fear, right? And so we rightly divide the word. Why? So we can get the sense. And that's what Bible teachers and pastors should do. They shouldn't just try and get their share of the market. That's what's out there today. Why they specialize in children's ministries, or because they want their share. Or pump up the music. We jam in our church. We sit on sofas. You know, we don't do church like the old days. We're hip. Yeah. Like this one billboard on this church says, we don't believe in anything. Yeah. Unsafe person says, cool. You know, or there was this, like a apologetics conference, and there was a Hindu guy, and this guy, Don Vino, he used to be on the radio here. A great guy, and he rightly divides the word, but he don't kind of as strong as I would like to see it out there. But he really helps a lot of people in cults or movements in the church to see why that's inaccurate. And so he's talking this Hindu, and we accept every beliefs. He said, oh, really? Well, as a Christian, I believe Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe that? Oh, no. See, the world says, talk to me about Buddha. Sounds cool. You know, how can I learn to meditate? Because I heard, you know, it's like smoking a joint. I get real relaxed, you know. Or Hinduism. Oh, so interesting. You know, I want to dance like Hindus, you know. Or anything. Satanism sometimes, except that scares some people. But don't talk about Jesus at a party. Because right away, you might be standing there sipping a glass of wine, person. All right, I'll talk to you later. Clara, you know, they run to their friends, you know. They don't want to hear the truth. And Satan's very subtle. Don't ever forget. The gospel is what? Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again, right? But like I said, a lot of denominations teach that. Some that teach that you lose your salvation. What Satan has been so subtle is justification. See, they say you just got to believe that. But do they believe they're justified just by that? Declared righteous by God once and for all? No. Because what they tell you right away when you say you trust in Christ, well, they tell you to say the sinner's prayer, right? Prayer don't save you. It's trusting. Now, I said a prayer when I got saved, but the prayer didn't save me. I said, I admit I'm a sinner, God. And I trust Jesus died for my sins. That's how I got saved, when I trusted. See, that's why a lot of people ain't truly saved. They go to church, they walk an aisle, and I love this one, I made my commitment to the Lord. Yeah. Well, those in the flesh cannot please God, then how can you commit to the Lord? Now, once you're saved, the only thing, I got one and a half a commitment. I'm committed to not depending on making any commitments to God, because I'll mess it up. What I am committed to is depending on Him. That's my commitment. And I ask God, Lord, give me such a fire desire, like in the prophets in the Old Testament, the one said, the Word of God is like a burning in my bones. That's what I want, to share God's grace and right division. Because the pioneers and those early on, a lot of them are getting older. Guess who? If we don't carry it on, remember Paul told Timothy, keep it, secure it, the doctrine, the teaching, what? The mystery. And teach men that are able to teach other men. Sorry, no women. Pastors, anyway. Women are great teachers. I actually, and I think sharing, I love on Facebook, some sisters on there, man, sharing grace. I tell them, I respect them, you know. But they got mad when I posted some that God doesn't have women pastors. You know, Paul says it's men, but it's another subject. But I just pray that for me, and God would raise up younger people. I consider myself kind of one of them younger people, 58. You know, but my stepson, 21, you know, 21, right? I'm talking to my sister. You.
21,
yes. Shouldn't lie, from up here, right? Me. Anyway, that God will raise up, because as Paul gave that to Timothy, remember Paul said, all those in Asia have deserted me? He writes to Timothy. All what we have, understanding grace, understand complete forgiveness, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing, understanding that all Scripture is for us, but not to us, understanding where our instructions are. If we don't stand up and share, you know what happens? It gets a dark age. It can be lost again. Because it was lost. You know? After Paul and the other went off the scene, there in church history, there's a dark age. Well, there's no history. I don't know if it's 50 or 100 years. And when you see the church that comes out of that, it's on its way. It's a mixture of some of Paul's gospel and Israel's program, the priesthood, and the incense, and, you know, getting forgiven over and over and over, you know, atonement system. And so if we don't stand up, because what's better in our lives? You know, what is our focus of our lives? What's the important things in our lives? You know, it depends how you look at it, right? If you're looking at it from an eternal perspective, what's going to matter in eternity? At the Bema steps, what's going to matter? What Christ did through us, right? And not only what we taught, was it taught in love. Only what's motivated in love, that's empowered by the Holy Spirit, that's truth. That's what's going to count for eternity. Or if we have a worldly perspective, because we're supposed to what? Our citizenship's in heaven, that's where, you know, realize that. We're just passing through. We're ambassadors, like my old pastor Kirkwood said, on loan to planet Earth. You know, if we're worldly minded, we're everything that's going on. It's important. Am I making enough money? You know, am I keeping up with the Joneses? I'll get that person back. They just don't know who they're messing with, right? It's that worldly me self. So I'm not going to be able to get too far. I got a couple minutes, but I want you to see, as they understood it, there was revival. It says, actually, there was something. They started crying and mourning because they realized how they had turned from God, you know. And yet he tells them in verse 12, And all the people went their way after they understood the Word of God. They heard the Word of God. And they understood the sense. They understood it. Because they had... in verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. In my New King James, it says they that's the idea of rejoicing. Because they had understood the words that was declared for them. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11. And this is after his ascension, if you notice too. So this is not the apostles that he called for the kingdom program. This is after he ascended. He made what? There was apostles back then. Silas, Timothy, them were apostles in the body of Christ. Till the body of Christ was completed, that office was no longer going on. And what's he say? And some evangelists and some pastor teachers. Why? For the perfecting, the idea of maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's what I pray when every time I come and teach or whatever, that you're edified. Because it really doesn't matter. I know one message is not going to fireworks in your life. But it's a part of what you already are studying. And hopefully it encourages you. And sometimes it's a start, a motivator. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the idea again, I think, mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen to this, that we henceforth be no more children. See, immature, right? Children believe anything you tell them. Pretty much, unless you lie to them too many times. And tossed to and fro. The idea is a picture like in a storm. You're in a ship, and it's just blowing you this way and blowing you that way. Tossed to and fro and carried about with what? Every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head of Christ, which is the head, even Christ. So there's a lot of deception out there. Turn on Christian TV, right? God make you rich. He'll heal you. Just send your money. And they're slick. And some of them are deceived, and they're deceiving. Some of them, I think they know what they're doing. So we need to know this word, rightly divide it. If you don't, because you're not gonna understand the sense of what's being said. Who's it to? Right? Who's speaking? Who's it to? And then most important after that, like I said, meditate on it. Apply it. You say, I ain't had my eyes on the Lord lately for a while. I've got distracted and I'm starting to get into maybe things I shouldn't do. Today, what's Paul say if you're still in? Did he say confess your sins, show contrition? No, he said quit it. Right? Get a job. Feel pretty good. Help somebody. So if we're not focused that much, what do you do? That's what I'm hoping today. Maybe it's somebody has been struggling. Because I know I do sometimes. You get your mind on this and that. And I'm going to end with this. That's why church is like a compass. Gets your direction. Good sound teaching. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, God. Thank you that you comfort us through it. You convict us. At times rebuke us. And you train us. You discipline. You don't punish us physically like you did Israel with physical blessings and physical curses. But you train us through your word, rightly divided. Thank you for that, God. Lord, fill us for a hunger more and more for your word. And I know if we haven't